and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor at Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
Hi everybody, welcome to this section of Valley Church Online, and thank you so much for the introduction. If this is your first time, a really warm welcome. We really, really appreciate you being with us, and we hope you've got lots out of this so far and you get lots out of what's to come. And if it's one of the regulars, we just want to say we love you and thank you so much for being with us. And today's Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all the fathers who are watching. We want to say that we believe in you. You're doing an awesome job, and God's going to continue to equip you and skill you so that you can bring your children up in amazing ways. And for all the men who are watching this, do you know God has something special for each one of us? God has created us on purpose and for purpose, and he is there to help us to achieve that purpose. And God wants to help you achieve both what he's put on your heart and what's in your heart with all the gifts and skills that you have. We believe in each and every man. And now, normally on this day, I would be showing you some of the presents that my wonderful children have given me, but this is before I'm recording this, so I don't know what they've got, though I'm sure they have. So thank you, kids, for your presents that you've got me today. The other thing that I love doing on Father's Day is doing a message with some onstage props. And I love last year when I got to use my chainsaw on stage. It was so much fun. And in this message, I put some kind of creative bits in for you as well, though no chainsaw, nothing quite as radical as that this time. I just love doing something special for the men of the house, because I really do believe in the men of the house, that we are significant and that you as a man are significant. And girls, I know you are thinking that, you know, the guys is really important. So together we believe in the men. Psalm 68, verse 5. The psalmist writes this about God, that God is a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows. He's a God who sets the lonely in families. And Psalm 82, verse 3, says that God is a defender of the weak and a defender of the fatherless. And as I've been preparing and thinking about what to share, I have really felt like, you know, men, we need to be fathers to not just our own children, if we have any, but to every single child that is in our world, you know, to the best of our ability. And when we're allowed to, God, you see, has a heart to be dad to the fatherless. And I think something of that heart should be reflected in every single Christian male, that they have a passion to see children reach their full potential and be cared for and protected and loved and encouraged. I came across some really horrible stats, I mean startling stats, as I've been researching for this over the last week or so. Do you know, between 1 and 3 million UK children grow up without a father? It depends on the definition of without a father. Some would say that if a child has contact with their father once a year, they have a father in contact. The others say that's not really proper, hence the difference between 1 and 3. That's out of a total number of children 19 and under, i.e. college and under, of about 15 million. We have something like 3 million of our children in this country who don't have fathers. And I just want to read out some of the things. Just really shocked me to try and understand what that means for these children, for children that don't have fathers in their lives, who don't have that male figure in their lives to look up to, don't experience the love of a dad or a male figure in their life. It says, children without fathers have a diminished self-concept of themselves, and they lack emotional security. They're missing something emotionally because they don't have dads, that they feel ashamed they've no fathers, they struggle with their emotions, and they have bouts of self-doubt. Children without fathers have behavioural problems at school, behavioural problems within friendships. They struggle to master friendships properly. They have a poor academic performance. Do you know, I was stunned this one. 71% of high school dropouts, secondary school dropouts, are fatherless. Would you believe it? That's just huge. Only 29% of our children that drop out of school have dads. One of the biggest drivers is they don't have dads in their families. Children without dads, they do poorly on the tests of reading and of maths and of thinking skills. And they're less likely to go on and get degrees or other professional qualifications. They're involved much more in youth crime. This is another shocking figure. Do you know 86% of youth in prison don't have a dad? Don't have a dad. I mean, that's just, wow. I mean, it's only 14%. What a difference we could make if every child had a dad in their life. In their areas of sexuality, they're involved with men, you know, with dating and making love to each other. In every one of those areas, they do worse. They get involved early, they have more diseases, they have poorer relationships, they find it harder to have marriages. There's more children without dads who are involved in drugs. More of them are homeless. 90% of runaway children are from families without a dad. Isn't that horrible and amazing? They're more likely to get abused without a dad because he's not protecting them physically, mentally, and sexually. They're more likely to have mental health. Their whole life chances are reduced. And I think what's the saddest thing altogether is that children without fathers, they tend to recreate the cycle for the next generations. And I just want to say that this message is called the call of men to be fathers. The call of men to be fathers. And if you're a man and you're listening to this, I just want to encourage you to be a dad to some children. Some of us already have children. I have three. I am called, and if you have children, you are called to extend your arms, as it were, to care and love and encourage more children than just your own. Perhaps you're a man and you've longed to have children. There's all sorts of reasons, but you haven't had children. And you think, well, I don't have any. But you do. There's a whole stack of people who need people just like you. Have maybe a bit more time when you're allowed to, and with the children that you know, to invest in them, to spend time with them, to help them and become their role models. You'll never be their dad, but it's amazing how you can help them to go forward and help families that don't have fathers in their world. Perhaps you're young, you know, you might be saying, oh, Pastor Ed, I'm 16, I'm 18, I'm 20. You know, I'm too young to think about that. No, you're not. There's a whole stack of children that need you at your age, 14, 16, 18, for you to be interested in them and encouraging them and building them up, even though you may feel too young and not ready for it. You need to, as it were, begin to bear the responsibility, I believe, of every man in every church to be a father to the fatherless in an appropriate way. I just believe this is what Jesus would want to encourage us. You remember the story in Luke 18, verse 15 to 16. Luke 18, verse 15 to 16. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." You know, Jesus was just reflecting God's heart. The children are welcome in my world. And guys, we need to make sure children are welcome in our worlds, because they need God, strong, wise, spiritual men in their lives. So the question remains, well, how do we do that? Well, before I begin that, I just want to pray for us, and then we'll get on into the rest of what's going to happen. Father, we thank you that you are our dad. Whether we're male or female listening to this, you are our father, a perfect father that loves us perfectly, that longs to help us. Matthew 7 says about you long to give us good gifts because you're a good father. You long to help us to fulfill the purpose, to release everything that you've placed on us when you created us. So, Father, I pray on this Father's Day that each one of us may know that we are your children, that we may make you our first Father, the true bringer of hope and love and grace and peace into our lives. But, Father, we're also called to be mums and dads to our own children and to the wider community. And Father, I pray for parents that you'd help us do that, but particularly today for the dads, for the men in the house, for the men, listen to this. Father, give us a passion for children, not just our own. Help us to know that we are called and we are responsible for looking after them, for doing our best within what we're allowed to do and what we can do in an appropriate way. But help us to be a father to those who need a father, a male figure in their life. And Father, I pray as we unpack this, God, speak to each one of us. Father, I pray for any, if this is their first time, God, do speak to them. And also let them know that you love them and they're very, very welcome in your kingdom and to have you as their father. So Father, help me as I speak. May your spirit just open hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, I haven't got a chainsaw, but what I've decided to do is to allow some of our church, our wider church, to speak into all our lives. And so I've asked five people or couples to speak into this subject. Well, how do I be a good father or a good male figure in children's lives? I started off with Ben Clark, a young man, not quite yet a father, but he became a godparent, a godfather, a long time before he even thought about becoming a dad. And he's been helping children in that role for a number of years. And I wanted him to share a little bit about one story with one of his godchildren. He's very excited because he's so excited to help a young man develop and grow. And then there's Hannah and Andy. They've just got a young baby. I've asked Andy and Chrissy. They've got a young family. I've asked Jason and Jenny, their children there. Well, they're becoming teenagers, and Alex is 20, 21 very soon, thinking about getting married. And so they've got experience and to hear some of their heart. And I asked Dave and Dot if they would share a little from a grandparent's point of view. And you'll hear the soft tones and notes of grandparents, of loving both their children and their grandchildren. All I'd ask over the next few minutes is you listen to their conversations, that you would really note down the main things that each one of them says. And even though I didn't give them a remit, I said, just say any advice you'd want to say to a dad or somebody who wants to try and be a dad. You'll notice certain things coming through. Write those down, because I think they will be significant for you as you go forward. So let's listen to these videos.
Happy Father's Day to all the dads at church and anyone who's watching. I'm Benny and I'm soon to be a father. Not quite made it to this year's Father's Day club, but apparently I'm the father to a toy poodle, if that's a thing. But I am a godfather, so what I was going to share today is about being a godfather. I'm blessed enough to be a godfather to two kids in our church, amazing kids, and the one I'm going to share about today is TJ. So TJ, if you've seen him around church, is an absolute legend. He's a little cheeky chap, he's always got a smile on his face. And what blows my mind about being TJ's godfather is that he picked me to be his godfather. Don't know if that's a good idea, but we'll find out as we go. But TJ's amazing. One of the ways that I think I can be the best godfather to him is by pointing him to Jesus and loving him, supporting him, praying for him, and being there if he needs me. One of the amazing things about TJ is that on the day that I became his godfather, I gave him a book, and it's called Cross the Line, and it's an interview style book between the guy who wrote it and Christian footballers and people in the world of football. And TJ is mad about football, and what I think is even more amazing about TJ is that, from what I've heard, is he's given it to one of the teachers from his school to read. So I mean, he's a little evangelist too. He's an absolute amazing kid. Some of the things we were going to do together was we were going to go watch Blackburn Rovers play. That's my team, but I'm guessing it's a blessing in disguise that we can't go and watch them play, because apparently it's like watching paint dry. But we'll have to do that another time when we can. But TJ is an amazing kid, and like I said before, the best way that I can be his godfather is by pointing him back to Jesus, and he is already pointing other people to Jesus as well. He's an absolute dude.
Hey Church,
hello.
Hannah and Anza here. If you don't already know us, we are the youth leaders here at Valley. We lead Wildfire, our amazing young people.
And we have an 8.5 month old daughter called Elsie, who is very loud. I'm sure lots of you have met her by now. But yeah, we wanted to spend just a couple of moments just telling you about, you know, Elsie's not too young to help her on the journey with God. I guess people would maybe think that, you know, she's so little, she's only 8 months, she won't be taking stuff in, but we absolutely believe that she is, and we believe that we can really help her on her journey with God. And we read in Proverbs 22:6, it says, teach children how they should live and they will remember it all their life. And that's what we're determined to do.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one of the first things that we decided and ran with, it was advice from friends in church, was to take Elsie on the journey with us. We're leaders. We are all in kind of people. We want to be at everything, making a difference, planning, leading teams. And obviously that means we're busy, we're out and about a lot. And we just decided that Elsie would come on this journey with us. And it was brilliant. You know, we led a youth on tour trip right early on in Elsie's life. I think she was about 3 weeks old. She traveled to Wales with us. She did youth on tour with us, and it was just brilliant. And for us, we just want her right from the very beginning to love church life as much definitely. As we do. So we bring her along on the journey. She's surrounded by amazing people when she's there. So yeah, that's kind of the first step that we took to setting her off right.
Yeah, and it's not just surrounding her at church, it's surrounding her at home. So as I said that word before, we're really deliberate with what we do. We're deliberate with what we say around her. We're deliberate with having worship music on. She watches church with us every week. She loves being in the worship when we're live. Yeah. We pray for her every night and we speak positivity into her. I think it was Andy Carter said that if as dads, we don't tell them, our kids, that they're beautiful, that they're kind, that they're amazing, then someone else will tell them that. So I've been determined right from the beginning that I'm going to tell Elsie that every day. And she's going to know that she's amazing, she's confident. I don't know where she gets that from. She's beautiful, she's powerful. And yeah, I just so believe in her and I'm so excited to see her in her journey with God.
Yeah, definitely. And so, yeah, I guess what we wanted to share with you is that we're setting her off on the right path as best we can. Yeah. You know, we're praying to God that he will help us be great parents. So we're taking along the journey. We're starting great habits right from the beginning. But also we are just super thankful that we're planted in Valley Church and surrounded by loads of families who have done this journey. They've got older children, primary school aged, teenagers, and they will be able to advise us when we get there and fill us with the wisdom that God's taught them in raising kids as Christians.
We'll never be short of babysitters. So yeah, and I for one, I'm just so excited to be a dad. I've always wanted to be a dad and I just can't wait. I get so excited thinking about her future and what a powerhouse she's going to be in church and for God.
Awesome. Well, it was nice to be with you. Bye.
Hi,
my name's Andy, this is Chrissy. We're the Lancaster service pastors. We've got two children, Henry, who's 4.5, and Elizabeth, who's 1.5, both incredible, incredible kids. It's Father's Day today, so happy Father's Day to all you guys out there. You being a father is a privilege, an honour. It's an incredible gift to have children that you get to call your own and bring up. It's not always easy. You know that if you're a parent that it can be challenging. But I always have to remind myself to remember that it is a privilege and honour to have kids. They're a gift from God. They're such a good gift from heaven. And, you know, the ages they are, you know, we want to bring them up in the best way that we can. And we're trying to help them learn to talk for Elizabeth. And we're teaching Henry to read. And we want to teach them manners, the pleases and the thank yous, being kind, all those kinds of things. All important, you know, all the things that, you know, we should be doing as great Christian parents. But what's the most important? What's the most important thing that we can ever give, ever teach our children? And I think there's two answers to that question. The first one is that we want to have a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with God, make their peace with God and know him, have their sins forgiven and know that their eternity is sure and walk through the journey of life with God. That's the most important thing that we could ever give to our children. The second thing is closely follows that, I believe, and that's being planted in a healthy church, being part of a healthy church, being stuck into it, because you can't be a lone wolf as a Christian. We all need people around us to encourage us and help us on that journey and spur us on and be part of a community which helps and lives life together.
Absolutely.
And as you do that, it helps you to be empowered and become everything that God intends you to be as you're kind of planted in that house and learn and grow and all those sorts of things. But what does that look like? How does that look? And even before we had children, we were asking that question. We wanted to start with the end in mind. How do we help our kids become that? And we kind of rolled the clock back. And Hopefully we're going to get this right and do a good job at it, but we've got a few little things. Yeah. First one is pray.
Yeah.
Prayer doesn't just change something, it changes everything. Pastor Ed loves to say that.
Yeah.
Praying is so such a powerful thing.
Yeah.
What are the things that you thought?
Yeah, the second thing that we have tried to do and we will always try to do is involve them in this journey, involve them in us building church. You know, it's not just us that are doing it, it's our family that are doing it together. And we took on, we said yes to starting the Lancaster location when I was heavily pregnant with Henry. And we were like, what does this look like? Well, it looks like they're going to come on the journey with us. And we try at every stage to make it
fun. Yeah, we want it to be fun. You know, we want it to be an enjoyable experience, not a chore. You know, we want church and everything around church to be great fun. We call Sunday Fun Day Sunday because we want it to be fun. We plan the day. You know, it's often a very full day, you know, involved in the church services, and so we plan who they're going to hang around with, the food. We sometimes sneak to McDonald's for lunch or something like that. We try and make the days fun. We also do other things.
We want to encourage our kids. We want to encourage them. You know, Proverbs says there is power of life and death in your tongue, and we want to be speaking life and constantly speaking life over our children. You know, when we're born, we don't know our names. Our parents tell us our name again and again and again, and we want our children to know who they are and who God says they are, more importantly. And so if they're not going to know unless we tell them and unless we keep telling them. So we're going to encourage them. We're going to tell our children who they are and who God says they are. Tell them who God says they are, and hopefully they won't forget it, or it'll be very quick when they are having a bit of a wobble.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the most important thing we ever do as parents, as a father and a mother, is the example that we set.
Yeah.
Not just in terms of actually being at church and church life, all that's so important, but in every area of our lives, the example we set is so important. What we prioritise, our kids will learn and watch that and think, oh, actually, that was important to my parents, that's probably should be important to me. So the example that you set is key. So the relationship that you have with Jesus, live it out openly. You know, if you've got a great friend, you don't keep them hidden away. You involve other people in that relationship. Do that with your relationship with Jesus. In terms of being planted in the house, we live our life planted in the house, and that means we make different decisions than maybe other people do, but it's the best life, and we want to set that example for our children, live life in all of its fullness. I'm always reminded, because being a parent is not easy, of one of the Psalms, Psalm 139 verse 14. It says, I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I know that full well. It's a great encouragement to as in individuals, but it always reminds me as a parent that God made Henry and Elizabeth fearfully and wonderfully. He made them incredible, but he put them in our lives. He gave them to Christy and I. And so we're the best parents that there could be to bring these two up. And that gives me confidence. That gives me hope that I can do this, that we can do this, that I can be the best father that we can be. So hopefully that's a little bit helpful for you.
Yeah.
Hey, church, it's Jason and Jenny here. Great to see you. We've got four children. Well, more like adults now. We've got Alex, who's 21 in October. Twin boys, Oliver and Lewis, who are 19 in July, and then a girl, Isabel, came along, and she'll be 14 in August. So we just wanted to spend a moment talking to you about how we are trying to raise a family to know and love Jesus. So Jenny, over to you.
I guess the first thing has been really the importance of good foundations. It's so important, isn't it, to model the behaviour that you want from your children. So it's been really important for us to really make sure that they've been in church right from when they were young. We've never tried to separate family time and church time. It's just our time together as a family going to church. It's an adventure building into their lives and being at church with them. And it's always been consistent in our family. We're at church every Sunday, unless obviously we're on holiday.
Yeah, and as they've got older, just as many of us, ourselves included, serve in different capacities in church, we've encouraged them to plant themselves in church and to serve at whatever age, in whatever capacity they could achieve at the time, depending on whether they were much younger, helping out, or more recently, as they're more like adults now, getting involved in lots of different areas. So we wanted to make sure that we weren't raising them in isolation. We want a good team around them, and We've been very fortunate having different mentors, both for ourselves and also for the boys and Isabel as they've been growing up as well. So we're appreciative of that through in and through the church.
Yeah, and we've always given a really high priority to getting them to the youth work. We've been so blessed to have an amazing youth work right from and when it started. And our kids absolutely loved it and they love being there. And also getting them to things like team nights and connect groups. You know, it's so important that they have those opportunities. And we never, one of the things we decided we would never use missing any of those things as a punishment. So obviously, you know, teenagers do have their moments. But it's not to be a punishment to miss church, to miss the time. Okay, it's great to be with their friends at youth, but it's a place where they're going to learn, where they're going to grow, where they're going to find more about what God's purpose is for their life. So that's really important to us, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the final thing, as I'm sure we would all want for ourselves, is speaking life and truth into their lives. You know, their lives are so bombarded, even more so than when many moons ago when we were kids. These days with social media and a lot of peer pressure going on, that we want their experience and their reality to be based in the church and in and through their own relationship with Jesus. And we firmly believe that and pray that would be our experience and your experience too. So thanks for listening.
I'm Dot Whiteman. This is my husband David. We go to the Lancaster service. We've got two boys.
Two lads. How old are they?
Michael's 37, James is 35, and they've both got three children each. Michael lives in Swansea, and they go to a really lively church, and they've got Daisy, who's 10, Bluebell, who's 8, and Poppy, who is 4.5. And the girls have all made commitments to follow Jesus as well. James is married to Beth, and they've got three children, and Eli is nearly 8, Scarlett is 4.5, and Boaz is 3.
Oh, it's been good. I never wanted kids for a starter.
I did.
You didn't for a start off, no. And then you wanted kids, and then we got them. Yeah. As Christians, we all want our children to be Christians. I think probably one of the biggest things is prayer. We can't tell our kids what to do. Well, we can do, but we won't do what we tell them to do. But and I think it's the Lord working in their lives that you want to see happening. So actually, at the end of the day, it's not our decision; it's their decision. But we can try and point them in the right way. Yeah, I think one of the things that we've always tried to do was not to contradict each other which we do quite often is think differently, but not in front of the kids. We wanted to be united if we could. But that's part of your example, isn't it? I think that's... The example we wanted to set was really to be part of us, and not for us to lord over the top of them, but to be on the same level. And that was how we wanted them to be able to talk to us about anything. Anything, you know, and not to be frightened of actually telling us anything, and just being, I'm sure there's things that they haven't told us, and there's things that, but there was a lot that they did confide in us, and were able to, and knew that we probably wouldn't not judge them too much. I wanted them to be honest, wanted them to, be kind to people around them, and and to be thoughtful about other people, which I think they are. And I think there's all sorts of qualities. You want them to stand up for themselves. You don't want them to be pushed around by other people.
But you want them to also help other people as well, don't you?
You don't want them to be pushing other people around. You know, you want, there's got to be that balance there. I think a lot of it is balance at the end of the day.
Well, with Eli, when he became a Christian last year after been at soccer school, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Trying to get him into a reading plan of some sort for an 8-year-old is really difficult. But he wanted to do, and so when you were reading his Bible through, he needed to have it explained as well as his notes, and that was really cool. So that's good. And he just prays amazing prayers, doesn't he? When they pray, it's just really, really cool. Yeah.
I think a lot of it is encouraging them, and encouraging them, you know, they could, they can become a Christian, but they can soon slide away. And but I think, a big part again is praying for them, and just trying to encourage them in everything you can do that, down that road. But, yeah.
Well, thank you everybody for sharing. Just some great thoughts and inspiration there. Did you know down the kind of the common threads? I noticed four common threads. The first one was they talked about making sure that we point the children to Jesus, to God through Jesus, all that Jesus has done, because he is the source of hope and life and help and strength and power in their lives. He's massive. The second thing they talked about, which you probably noticed, is that they need to be planted in God's house. So they've been taught well, and they have some great Christian spiritual friends in their lives to take them forward, and some great mentors. They talked about the importance of prayer. You know, we don't need to be with them to be praying for them, to allowing God to work in their lives through the power of prayer. And then they talked about this idea of encouragement, building them up and giving them life and grace and truth. Actually, giving them belief in themselves, or helping them see how much God believes in them, how valuable they are. And we definitely have a generation of children that need to know that they're valuable and that they have worth and they can do amazing things. So thank you so much, guys, for sharing. It's brilliant. Well, for the rest of our time together today, I just want to share one more thought from King David's life. I love King David, I love his story. He is human. He's describes a man after God's own heart. He has something of God in him and God's view of the world in him. But he's such an ordinary man. He's a parent, but if you read his stories, some of his parenting skills probably needed some work on. He wasn't a perfect human being. He definitely made some mistakes, some big mistakes. But he loved God, and he wanted always to do his best for God and follow what God wanted him to do. He always was so upset every time he failed, and he's just a kind of a hero to me. And he did one thing which I want to share with every man in the house, is this. King David was committed to setting the next generation up for a win. He was committed to set the next generation up for a win. He prepared so that when his son Solomon took over the throne, took over the family, as it were, he was well set up. And I want to mention three things that he did in this. The first thing he did in this was David, he fought the battles so that Solomon didn't need to. David fought the battles so his children didn't need to find them. We read in 1 Chronicles 18, verse 1. In the course of time, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them, and he took Gath and its surrounding villages from the control of the Philistines. David made war against the Philistines, and he beat them and he subdued them. And if you read in verse 2 of chapter 18, he subdued the Moabites. In verse 3, he subdued the king of Zobah. In verse 5, he subdued the Armenians, which was a huge, huge territory to the north of the country. In verse 11, he subdued Edom and the Ammonites. And hopefully a map's going to ping up, and you'll see that David defeated all the possible enemies around his kingdom so that Solomon didn't need to fight them. They were already subdued. They were no longer a threat in Solomon's life. And do you know, men of the house, we should be involved in that. There are certain fights that each generation is supposed to take hold of so that the next generation don't need to take hold of them. Now, I don't know the fights or the things that God might call you to put right so our generation doesn't need to, but I'll have some and you'll have some. But we should ask God the question, you know, what should I be dealing with in my generation so that the children after me don't need to deal with them? Because if we don't, then they'll be left. So if King David hadn't subdued the Philistines, King Solomon would have had to go and do it because they were there and they weren't going away. And not until they were subdued. So to set up the next generation, he defeated certain enemies, certain issues were solved. What do we need to solve in our generation, men, so that our children don't need to do it? The second thing I want to say that King David was he resourced the kingdom so the next generation was well resourced. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 verse 14 says this, I've taken great pains to provide for the temple of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, quantities of bronze and iron too great to be weighed, and wood and stone, and you may add to them, he says to his son Solomon. You have many workmen, stonecutters, masons, carpenters, as well as men skilled in every kind of work, in gold and silver, bronze and iron, craftsmen beyond number. Now begin the work, for the Lord be with you. He'd got together equipment and valuables and money and people, trained people that he trained, made sure they're trained. He got all the resources ready for his son, for the next generation to go forward. So Solomon didn't even worry about that. He already had those and he could go on and really rise up into all that God had for him to do. And I want to suggest, men, that we do the same for our next generation. Because we do actually live in a generation which is all about me. It's about credit. It's about spending, about enjoying all that we can. And there's nothing wrong in spending money. There's nothing wrong in enjoying. I think God made the earth for us to enjoy. But in the back of our minds, we should always be thinking, I need to make sure that I resource my children and my children's children well. I don't want to spend it all, and so that there's nothing left or very little left for my children, that they will have to struggle. They will have to begin again. Christians are called, I believe, and men are called to make sure the next generation is well resourced, that they can fully walk into everything that God has for them, so they can be released into kingdom purposes, so they can take the kingdom forward and help people and heal them and restore them, give them a hope and a future. And that's what King David wanted to do. His big project was a temple, to glorify God, to see the kingdom of God go forward in that way. And each of us, as it were, needs to resource the next generation that they may take the kingdom of God forward well and well financed. The third thing that David did, he organized. Now, I haven't got time to read the whole chapters, but in 1 Chronicles chapters 23 and 24, he organizes the priests and the Levites and all their duties. In chapter 25, he organizes the singers. In chapter 27, he organizes the army, the defense of the realm, so to speak. In chapter 27, he also organizes the administrators that he's placed all over the kingdom to make sure everything is really well organized for when Solomon takes over. There's not a mess left. He's left it all really well organized so that Solomon has a smooth transition into leading the kingdom. And I want to suggest, men, that we need to make sure that we leave things well organized, in a good place, for when our children have to take over the reins, when they take responsibility, when we're no longer about our children and our grandchildren. Let's not leave a mess, an emotional mess, family messes, financial messes, business messes. Let's make sure that we don't leave messes for our children to pick up. But to the best of our ability, we have sorted things out. And also that we have created good patterns for our children. Do you know, if you set good patterns for children now, they will live them for the rest of their life, for the rest of their lives, and they're highly likely to pass them on. That's what King David was doing. He was trying to set up good organizational system so that his children, in particular Solomon, could see them. And even though I suspect over Solomon's life he tweaked them and changed them, he had a great base, a great model to start from. And that's what we need to do. So we need to fight the battles, men. We need to resource the next generation. We need to make sure that we leave a good, organised system. We don't leave messes behind for our children to have to sort out. If we can do that, I believe that our children can truly stand on our shoulders and achieve great things. The heart of our church is to empower a new generation, is to help those coming after us to achieve more and better and bigger things than we have. And men, on this Father's Day, that's what I call you to do. Not just for our own children, if we have them physically, but for every child that comes through our door. In fact, wider than that, every child that we know, that we may help them find God and reach their full potential in Him. So happy Father's Day. I believe in God will help you and empower you, and you'll see amazing fruit as you commit yourself to helping a new generation be empowered and set them up for ruin. I'm going to hand back to the MCs. If you don't know Jesus, they're going to give you an opportunity to get to know Him. But I'm just going to pray about this and for every man in their house as we finish. Father, I thank you that you are the Father of the fatherless, that you love those who maybe people don't love. But actually, you love even those who have human fathers, because you are the Father of every single one of us. Father, I pray for each one of us as I prayed and I set off, that you'd help us to make you our Father and to draw our love and our strength from you first and foremost. And Father, I pray for us as men that you'll help us to be fathers to our own children if we have them, but also to other children in our world, that we would do it well and powerfully and effectively, that we would represent you well, that we'd help them find you, that we'd pray for them, that we'd set them up for a great future. Father, help us to draw our strength and our love from you as we do this task that you have called us to do. And Father, on this day, I pray that you would bless every dad, equip them, give them wisdom and insight. And for every man who's listening to this, God, I pray they would know that they're precious and loved and they are on this planet, on this earth, for great and significant reasons. And I pray, Father, they might find them and walk into them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.